Hello, listeners. Wesley here to talk to you a little bit about how you can support this show. For each episode of all of our podcasts here at Arcadia, we spend our own money on books, articles, and other materials so that we can bring you podcasts that are thoroughly researched and fact-checked. All of the hosts and producers of these shows also work full-time jobs in addition to the podcast so that we can support this passion we all share. If you'd like to support us at We're Getting a Dog, as well as the other podcasts in the Arcadia Podcast Network, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/We're Getting a Dog, or our website, WereGettingADog.com/support. For as low as $2 per month, you can get access a day early to every new episode of We're Getting a Dog and other Arcadia Podcast Network shows, such as Coffee's On and Good Food for Bad Friends. And at higher levels, you can get one-of-a-kind swag. Thank you for supporting the Arcadia Podcast Network and for listening to this podcast. Now back to the show.
Hello and welcome to We're Getting a Dog.
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
How are y'all doing out there?
In the universe.
Hope you're good.
On the waves, on the radio waves. Yeah, we hope you're good.
How are you doing, Wesley?
Oh, man. It was quite a week. We did our Friendsgiving, or we call it Famsgiving.
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah. I was beat after that. It was a long marathon of cooking.
Yeah, for me sure. Too. It was exhausting, but a lot of fun.
But everything was really good. Everything everyone brought was so good.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, our friends turn out for potlucks, and I'm so happy about that.
You know, you're such a great cook. Everyone has to step it up to try to impress you.
Well, I really hope that that's not the idea.
No. But it's Thanksgiving, so everyone has good recipes.
Yeah, I know. It was
stuff they want to make.
It was great. I really have to shout out, though, our friend Matt Torres, who brought the most fire cornbread I've ever had in my life. It's so good. But anyways, yeah, so we had our Famsgiving, and I'm like 80% done Christmas shopping, which I'm very happy about.
Wow. I should start.
Yes, you should. Oh my gosh, it's almost December.
I guess so.
December's tomorrow.
I've just been hearing Christmas music every day for the past 2 weeks. You'd think it would occur to me.
Yeah.
Shop.
Yeah, but I'm almost done. I just actually got a big box of stuff for you that I'm really excited to give you.
Ew.
I'm not going to tell you.
You can give it to me now, then.
No.
The air.
No.
Live.
But I got it off Etsy, and I took everything out of the box when I got it because I just wanted to see what everything looked like. But anyway.
Does it look good?
It does. Okay, I'm really excited to give it to you. But yeah, otherwise I've been good. Just going with the flow. We're hitting slow season at work too. So yeah. It's been kind of dead.
It's going to be less and less people in downtown Chicago.
Yeah, for sure. But anyways, that's me for now. So
yeah.
What about you?
Oh, same, you know, recovering from Famsgiving still.
Yeah.
Just eating leftovers basically every day.
We did have a lot. That's true. I made a club sandwich. That was my first leftover differentiation.
Just have a lot of stuffing and turkey, most.
Yeah. I did make myself more mashed potatoes. Anyway.
On to our breed for today.
Yeah, this breed is Dylan refused to tell me what the breed was, so I don't know what we're covering.
There's a breed I'd never heard of until I found it on Reddit.
Oh.
The subreddit Rare Puppers.
I love that subreddit.
You know, rare dogs. Not as much breeds, just weird dogs, usually.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a very, very cute video. And the more I watched it, the more I really wondered what this breed was.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an adorable video of this short little dog.
Am I playing it?
Oh, yeah. I figured you'd open it. Right. Yeah, that first link there.
Ooh, it's very colorful. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. It looks like kind of like a Spitzy or Corgi.
Yeah. Yeah, at first I thought like Australian cattle dog or something, but...
Yeah.
It's...
Very cute.
Yeah.
Can I take a guess at what this breed is?
Yeah, sure.
Is it like a Wolfspitz? Like the German breed?
No, it's not a German Wolfspitz.
Oh. that's what it was.
The top comment was, what's the mix for this short long boy? But then the poster said that it's a Swedish Valhund.
Oh, I did not know that's what those... I thought Swedish Valhunds were, like, huge.
No.
I thought they were small. Like, big dogs. Oh, okay. Very cute.
So cute, chasing the water.
Definitely. I could have sworn this was like a Spitz breed. Like kind of a general Spitz dog.
Yeah, Spitz breed. Very old one.
Uh-huh.
Swedish Valhund.
Welcome to Sweden.
Never covered a Swedish breed, have we? I think we did the Norwegian. Or Elkhound, maybe? Some Norwegian breed, I think.
I don't know. We just did a Swiss breed, so that's not Sweden.
That's not even Scandinavia.
No.
Any Finnish or Danish breeds?
I want to say we have probably a Finnish breed. No. Gosh, I don't remember. You know, we've covered so many dog breeds now. I don't really remember some of them. Like, you know, I every time we go back to see when we want to pick new breeds, I have to like go through a list and be like, have we done that one?
I have to look up on our podcast.
Yeah.
Episode list.
Hold on. Give me like a second here. Scandinavian dog breeds. Icelandic sheepdog, Finnish Spitz, Braholmer, Laphund. Karelian Bear? What the hell?
I'd remember if we did the Karelian Bear.
Greenland, Hamilton, Norwegian Elkhound, Lundehund. We've talked about the Lundehund before.
The Lindy Hop.
The Lindy Hop. I don't think we've covered a Scandinavian breed specifically. I know that in one episode we talked about how there were Scandinavian breeds mixed in to the breed we were talking about. And yeah. I want to say that was a Hungarian dog breed that we talked about. Could be wrong.
Probably is very influential with the Spitz breeds in general.
So cute. Can I click on the picture
very
now?
Very cute. Oh, yeah, of course.
Perfect.
Click on everything. But don't really have to yet.
Oh, it's so adorable. Oh, my God. Oh, it's so cute.
Ridiculously cute.
I love its little nubbin tail and its ears. I automatically want one. This could be like the,
cute.
This is like a almost like a more not a more stylish corgi, but like it's very akin to a corgi in size.
Oh yeah, like. Definitely. Yeah, and then just more of a Spitz sort of features, almost like more like a larger kind of Spitz than a Pomeranian even.
Yeah.
Like more like a husky in a lot of features, but just
very
shrunk
cute.
Down. So the height of this stout little guy. Is 12 and a half to 13 and 3/4 inches for males, and for females, 11 and a half to 12 and 3/4 inches.
Okay.
Weights around 20 to 35 pounds. And their life expectancy, 12 to 15 years.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Very old breed, and, you know, on the smaller side.
Sure.
It's a good long lifespan.
Uh-huh. I love its coloring, too. It's got such, like, striking patterns to it.
Here's the general appearance, as told by the AKC, as always. Swedish Valhund, SV, is a very old Spitz-type breed known since the time of the Vikings. For centuries, the SV has been kept as a farm dog and used for herding cattle. The SV is a small, powerful, fearless, sturdily built Spitz herding dog. The correct relationship of height to length of body is 2-3. Now, that's a weird thing to throw out there.
Wait, say that again?
The correct relationship of height to length of body is 2-3.
Okay. That makes sense. So they're a rectangle, essentially.
Like a very, like, even rectangle. Like
Spitz tend to be very structurally sound. Like, without all the floof, they're very little, like a little box.
It's weirdly specific.
I've seen it described that way before. Well, usually in the standard, it's like, the dog should be longer than it is short, or something like that. Or...
I remember one thing, is just describing it as, it's a perfect triangle. It's like, this can't be all 60-degree angles. It's not going to work.
Your dog should be an isosceles triangle.
The isosceles hound.
Is that a thing, an isosceles triangle?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What else can be isosceles? Not a rectangle, that's for sure.
I don't know.
So, continuing with the general appearance from the AKC standard, it's a very long one, and you can use it all, but the SV has a wedge-shaped head prick ears, and a close-fitting hard coat of medium length and sable coloring.
A wedge of cheese of a head.
The double coat and the characteristic, quote, harness markings are essential features of this breed. Tail must be natural, long, stub, or bob.
Okay. Oh, okay. I see some pictures. I Googled it on Google. I have it on Google Image, and there are some with bobtails, too.
Yeah, like naturally.
Their ears are so pointy.
Or they can also be docked, according to AKC standard.
Okay. No, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, but yeah, it was interesting that they can come, you know, just naturally, like bobtails.
Yeah.
But also long.
Uh-huh.
As the standard. The appearance of the Swedish Valhund conveys intelligence, alertness, and energy.
Energy.
Get an energy drink with Swedish Valhund.
That'd be a good name for an energy drink, Valhund.
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 Unleash your tiny wolf.
That might be inappropriate.
Ugh. Well, you know, that's all energy drink commercials. Vaguely, almost kind of inappropriate.
Even
can
Red Bull?
You say that on TV? Yeah, every Red Bull commercial. What do you think gives you wings means?
Yeah, I don't like Red Bull. I don't like energy drinks very much at all. They tend to give me heart palpitations.
Yeah, I feel like they're supposed to.
That, no.
I feel like that's by design.
I think I have, well, here's the thing. If I drink an energy drink, if I have any kind of anxiety about anything, nightmare fuel. Horrible. It's going to be terrible. Yeah. So I just avoid them.
Too much caffeine. It's not good.
Yeah, meanwhile, I like mainline coffee, like if that's better.
It's this more steady stream.
Sure.
So the coat, the AKC describes the SV has a double coat of medium length. The top coat is close and tight, while the undercoat is soft and dense. SVs are shown with their coats completely untrimmed in a natural state. Woolly, curly, and open coats are considered faults, and fluffy coats are a serious fault.
Okay, so they can't be too fluffy. That's kind of a disappointing, but it's okay.
Yeah, no woolly mammoths.
Can I add a image to your links? Because I think we just all need to see it.
You're Google imaging them.
Also, I am.
There's just so many cute pictures.
That's the thing. They're adorable. What was I going to... Oh, it's such a good picture. Yeah.
You'd never know it's such a small dog from that photo.
Very true.
Although, looks like a big wolf dog.
Not, well, not from the back. The back legs look like little chicken wings. But
okay, yeah. Mostly the head.
Well, turkey drumsticks.
Like a bigger dog.
Yeah.
And the tails, yeah, kind of tiny too.
But yeah, no, I definitely like... Let me look at this one with the colors here.
Yeah, so a sable pattern is seen in colors of gray through red and like combinations of the colors in varying shades.
Okay.
So yeah, that photo, you can sort of see a good variety of them.
Yeah, I like the one second in from the left. It's kind of like a tan sable with darker markings.
Oh, yeah.
That one's really cute. The center one is adorable, also because it looks like it's a little chubby. But
yeah, they're also expressive, too. It's very cute. And yeah, all are equally acceptable in the standard.
Very nice.
Any color they are follows the same shading pattern, too. So yeah, you can see they're all pretty identical in pattern.
Yes.
One very similar to, like, other Spitz dogs, like, or bigger Spitz dogs, really, like Huskies.
And in this photo, too, you get a variety of the different tails, it looks like, as well.
Oh, yeah.
The leftmost is a straight tail.
It's longer.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
And then one of them is docked, one of them is bobbed.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and I have a photo of a puppy, too.
Oh, God. Prepare your hearts. Again, if you want to see any of these photos, they're in the links that are in the description of the episode. Oh my God. That's the too...
stubbiest
that's
puppy.
That's a cuteness overload. I cannot. Oh, that's so adorable. Oh, man. I love it hasn't grown into its ears yet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So stubby. This looks like an animated dog. Like this there
could be photoshopped. I don't know.
No, I
a lot of other photos of them. It's hard to find photos of them. It's a very obscure breed. A lot of the other photos are not as, you know, good quality, and they look very young.
Oh no, they all look like that as a puppy. There's another one that looks kind of like the same. This one almost looks like a rabbit. It's so little. Yeah. Here, look at that one.
The tiniest wolf.
I know. Oh my gosh. I'm in love.
Global plush. Are you ready to learn all about the SV?
The Swedish Valhund.
Yeah, the SV.
SV. That's not the best acronym in the world.
No,
Those.
but the AKC likes it, so
Okay.
we will assimilate.
Do they have a problem with saying Swedish? The Swedish fish, Valhund.
The Swedish Valhund. So, Valhund in Swedish translates to herding dog. In its home country, the breed is called Västergötlandspets, after the Swedish province of Västergötland.
Yeah, great. I don't, there's so many consonants and in repeating succession.
Well, it's STG is the hard one. Västergötlandspets.
Yeah, that's
But the
true.
ending is pets.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, it works out.
Easy to remember. Originally, like perhaps as much as 1,000 years ago, they were known as Vikingarnas, which means Viking dog.
That's a lot of words to just mean Viking dog, but okay.
No, Vikingarnas hund.
Oh.
So Viking dog, I guess.
Sure. Awesome.
Is Vikingarnas Viking in Swedish?
I don't know.
And hund is just dog?
See, here's my extent of Sweden. I have a friend who's
ABBA.
Swedish. Are they Swedish? ABBA?
Oh yeah, well then that's what I know about Sweden.
Okay. And I know Trixie Mattel's Swedish impression, which is basically going like, "Hello to the Swedish
Oh,
people."
you play Minecraft? No, wait, that's Finland, right?
That's
No,
Finland.
wait, no, f wait, no,
Wait,
Minecraft is Sweden.
is it Sweden? I don't.
Angry Birds was Finland.
Like where they were created?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Minecraft, I think, is Swedish.
I thought you were saying Minecraft, the worlds are Sweden.
No, when you play Minecraft, you're actually tearing apart Sweden.
Yeah,
You're messing with the
Sweden
resources. It's
is
real.
like a weird, never-ending source of all these different resources with biomes, and then if you go too far, you end up in hell. So,
You're all controlling real robots in far, far
I
north
hate the
Sweden.
Nether. Miles is always like, "Why don't you go to the Nether with me?" And I'm like, "Because I'll die. I like the peacefulness of Minecraft. I don't like the Nether."
It's the Arctic. That's all the Arctic, I don't
Now,
know.
the Arctic biomes are boring. I don't
I don't know
know.
Swedish geography enough or Minecraft to
I
try to
do
do this
know
bit.
Minecraft.
So, because this dog dates so far back, and it's a relatively obscure breed in general throughout history, it's not very well documented, the very beginnings particularly, but somewhere between the 8th and 11th century, Scandinavian Vikings found themselves in Britain.
Okay. Oh, yeah, actually, that's
For one
accurate.
reason or
Yeah.
another. Probably up to no good.
They were conquering the world. Actually, that's, can I say something there? That's
Yeah.
a kind of a little known fact about the Vikings is that it's very possible they had made contact with near the entire world before,
Really?
like the Spanish Inquisitions, before Christopher Columbus, all that.
But did they write it all down?
Well, no, but there's evidence. Like there's
They get no credit.
one example is they found nicotine that is native to the Americas in Egyptian tombs. So there is an idea that the
Oh,
Vikings may
wow.
have traded nicotine from the Americas with the Egyptians. I don't know how much evidence there is to support that, but it
Or
would.
there's the guy who says it's aliens. There's that theory too. Everyone's got a theory.
I suppose, but I mean, it's one of the only possible theories as to why that substance could have been found in Egypt.
Yeah, it's more plausible than aliens.
It's also possible that, maybe like the science is maybe a little bit wrong. Who knows? It's a theory, but no, the Vikings were definitely
So are you
influential
suggesting
in
it could be
going around the
aliens?
world. No.
Just to be clear, was that what you're
I was
the
not insinuating, and
science
you
could be
never
wrong.
know.
You
I
never
mean,
know.
there's no way in an
Maybe
infinite
the Earth is
universe we're
flat.
alone.
What?
I said there's no way in the near infinite universe that we're alone. Like,
Well, that's true.
come on. There's just no way.
Sure, there's aliens in this room.
Ancient aliens?
We're too far off
There's
track.
aliens in your water.
So, The Vikings in Britain, 8th to 11th century.
Are cows aliens?
Yeah, I thought that was established.
Sorry, go ahead.
So the Vikings in Britain, 8th to 11th century, and they had, you know, Spitz dogs with them. Mm-hmm. Some of their very earliest dogs or people, starting in, like, Siberia. Uh-huh. Probably got their way to the Vikings relatively quickly. So they encountered a very new, very stout dog on the British Isles, the Corgi.
Yeah.
Or at least close ancestors to the Corgi.
Sure.
This would be very early Corgi.
I mean, that would make complete and total sense, judging on look.
The two breeds are theorized to have strongly influenced each other around this time, which is why they're so similar.
Mm-hmm.
So the SV was used for herding cattle and sheep, and also used for hunting vermin and guarding the home and farm.
Sounding more and more and more like corgis.
It's very much overall like a corgi. Yeah. You can find, you know, similar videos of them herding. It's very cute, like corgis running so fast and all.
Mm-hmm.
So being low to the ground allowed the SV to nip at cattle's heels and avoid getting kicked. They're, you know, particularly good cattle herders.
Mm-hmm. Did you look at the, you know that article on The Guardian with the DNA?
Oh, yeah.
Did you look at that for this?
No, I didn't look that up.
I just looked it up.
Cool. Just what does it say?
The Swedish Valhund is most related to the Icelandic sheepdog, which is, you know, that makes sense.
Well, I don't know anything about the Icelandic sheepdog.
And they're also very related to the Caissons, which also makes total sense.
Okay, yeah.
That's it.
Oh, that's all they got?
That's all they got.
Hmm, interesting. Well, yeah, those are two adorable Spitz breeds.
Yes, definitely.
So jumping ahead a little in history, by 1942...
Okay, that's a little? That's
just
like
a little.
8 centuries we just went, right?
1, 2, skip a few. 1942. The breed was almost extinct.
Oh, no.
Which might be why I was jumped ahead a bit. Might not have been many more developments.
It was a golden era until 1942. I mean, that was a bad year for a lot of things.
It's true. But that year, Bjorn von Rosen.
So sorry, I thought you were going to say Bjork.
Nope. Bjork was not alive in 42.
We don't know.
Bjork comes in later. No, Bjork does not come in. Wait, she's Icelandic, right?
She's Icelandic.
All right,
yeah.
She comes in the Icelandic sheepdog episode.
Maybe.
So anyway, Bjorn von Rosen, who had worked to save several old Swedish breeds from extinction, remembered the SV from his childhood and became involved. And after placing an advertisement in the papers asking for information on the dogs, K.G. Zetterston responded. Together, they began a partnership to save the breed, and the men scoured the country looking to find the best breed specimens. It's a very similar story to a lot of other, you know, breeds, just 20th century, you know, or late 19th century people just deciding this breed should stay alive.
Definitely. I mean, that's good. I feel like...
Yeah, it's interesting.
I feel like in a lot of episodes where there's a breed at stake for its survival, there is just like a dedicated group of people that step in and really work hard to make sure they don't go extinct.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So they started with one male named Mopsin and three females named Vivi, Lessie, and Topsy.
Oh, none of them were named Bottomsy. Or Turvy.
I was expecting weirder names for Swedish, but...
Really? Oh. Oh, just like Swedish names, you mean? Or
yeah. Like Vikingarnisfarlash.
Yeah, all I think of is... The Golden Girls, because Rose's character is Swedish.
Right.
It's like, I make flergeklergen cake.
So, these four dogs became the foundation for their breeding program. Mopsin, Vivi, Lessie, and Topsy.
Very nice.
In 1943, after a year of exhibition showing, the Swedish Kennel Club recognized the breed.
They recognized their own breed in 1943.
The Swedish Kennel Club.
When was the Swedish Kennel Club founded?
Before then.
Before then.
I'm pretty sure it started, you know, 19th century. Swedish, you know, around the time of a lot of other European kennel clubs.
It was founded in 1889.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, 1942, the breed was almost extinct.
I suppose, but...
And I don't know for how long, either.
That's true. Probably a while. Probably a while.
I mean, Bjorn von Rosen remembered it from his childhood, so...
And, you know, he... Well, he was 100. No.
It's true. Swedes live... They have one of the longest lifespans in the world.
Like, yeah.
Fun fact about Sweden.
Do they? I thought that was Japan.
Pretty sure. Sweden's up there. They're healthy. You looking it up right now?
Yes. Life expectancy by country in the world. Let's see.
As we all know, USA is number one, as it is in every list.
It's definitely not. Sweden currently sits at number 13 with an average life expectancy of like 82 and a half years between both genders. Or sexes, sorry, between both sexes. Hong Kong is actually number one.
Well,
in the United States...
How long is Hong Kong's?
Hong Kong, it is a female's... female's 88, male's 82.
So the average is, like, what, 85?
The average around the world?
No, in Hong Kong.
What? Oh, in Hong Kong.
I was trying to compare it to Sweden's.
Oh, 85 versus 82.
It's basically the best.
Yeah. The United States is number 46, for anyone wondering.
We're number one. So in 1964, with the Swedish standard revised, the breed became known as Västergötaspets, after the Swedish province Västergötland, in which the revived breeding program originated.
Nice.
You know, with Topsy and Bjorn and Zetterston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole gang.
Lessie and...
Mops and Vivi.
Yeah.
In Västergötland. South, I think, western Sweden?
In Västergötland. It should be
beautiful,
an ABBA song.
It probably is. Do they have a lot of songs?
I mean...
I think they just put out an album recently.
I mean, their discography was pretty long to begin with.
So in English-speaking countries, the breed became known as the Swedish Valhund. You know, around the same time, I think, when they started to be revived.
Mm-hmm.
So the first Swedish Valhund came to England in 1974. So it's pretty late
that
compared
is
to other breeds.
Actually, yeah, that is really late, yeah.
Yeah. So they're pretty obscure still, for at least the English-speaking world at this time.
Sure.
The first little Viking dogs, as they're sometimes known, I guess.
It's cute.
They were imported to the U.S. In California in early 1983.
Wow.
Yeah. It's only been here like
California,
40
interesting.
Years.
Interesting. Figured it'd be like the East Coast, but...
In 85, while visiting England, Marilyn Fell of Rhode Island, being of Swedish descent, brought two SVs to the United States. Fell founded the Swedish Valhund Club of America, originally known as the Swedish Valhunds Enthusiasts Club, in 86.
Interesting name.
The first litter of SVs in the U.S. Was whelped at John Ricker Kennel, September 4th, 86, a breeder Marilyn Thell. So she was all over the place.
Definitely.
Marilyn Thell, the U.S. mother of
Swedish
Valhunds. The Swedish Valhund is now recognized and found in many countries, such as Britain, Finland, the U.S., France, Netherlands, Sweden also, by the way, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Holland, Denmark. Hey, Holland is Netherlands. Gotta write into SwedishValhund.com. Yeah, sources like the Breed Club website. Marilyn Thell's Club, actually.
Mm.
I had to add a lot about how much credit to give her. Just leaving her name out of a lot of the other things she did. And Switzerland.
Wow.
So yeah, they're kind of only found in a handful of countries, just around Europe, mostly.
That's cool. Marilyn Thell passed away in 2018.
Oh.
Very recently. Well, not very recently, but recently.
Wow.
Yeah. She was born in 1931. So she was, just shy of her 77th birthday. Yeah. Right? 87th? 87th. I was not good at math, y'all. But, yeah.
So the AKC recognized the Swedish Valhund in 2007.
Nice.
As a breed, officially.
Officially.
And today they rank 160th in registrations.
Not bad. I mean, it's not.
It's like 197
the best.
Yeah. On the list. So.
Yeah, we had this debate in the last episode.
But they only list 197, but the page says there's 260 something.
I feel like that's surprising they wouldn't be as popular. I mean, we'll get into their behavior in a minute, but.
Well, they just took so long to get here.
That's true.
There's not many of them.
Maybe we'll see the surge of the Swedish Valhund in America.
I hope so.
I mean, they're cute as heck. I would love to get one.
Roaming the countryside.
Can you imagine like 30 Swedish Valhund puppies just like stumbling over a small hill trying to run to you?
They can actually run pretty well like corgis, you know? So
I suppose, but they're puppies still.
Oh, okay.
So
they're just helpless.
Yeah.
Little potatoes.
Yeah. Little potatoes.
So the SV is generally a pretty healthy breed. Like we said, the AKC said their life expectancy is 12 to 15 years.
Well, and I would suppose being around for as long as they have as a breed, it's that makes sense.
Yeah, being for the older Spitz breeds,
mm-hmm.
always pretty healthy, usually.
Mm-hmm.
The responsible breeders screen their stocks for health conditions like hip dysplasia, a genetic test for an eye issue called Swedish Valhund retinopathy was developed in 2017. See, I mean, they're probably gaining in popularity a lot, so there's a very recent development.
Huh,
Swedish Valhund retinopathy testing. So breeders can now identify carriers and breed them accordingly to ensure they do not produce affected offspring.
Oh. Well, that's probably, you know, the responsible mix of science into breeding these days, where you can screen a male for that and then just, like, you know, get them neutered.
So as for grooming, Swedish Valhunds need a good down-to-the-skin brushing occasionally and a bath when they get dirty. They shed their undercoat twice a year and... says the AKC, they will make you wonder just how many dogs you have.
Oh, God.
So I guess it's a pretty bad shedder.
Are there any photos of owners who have like a pile of their brushed out fur next to their dog and being like, how did this all come out of the dog?
Maybe. I've seen that for like German Shepherds.
That's, well,
all
yeah.
sorts of dogs, really. But Swedish Valhunds are pretty obscure. It's hard to find certain photos. But they're all very cute. When they're shedding, a warm bath and a good massage when shampooing, followed by drying with a dryer and thorough brushing, should get rid of the worst of it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it sounds a little, little hands-on.
Well, you can always take them to a groomer as well during the shedding seasons.
Well, yeah.
But definitely I feel like if you're going to have to blow dry them, it might be a better idea to take them to a groomer because they have, like, high-velocity dryers they can use on dogs.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's cool that, you know, they're shown in, like, a natural state, though. Their
yes.
hair doesn't grow out too much.
Yeah. Well, it can't. It's against standard if they're fluffy, so.
Yeah, definitely. So as for exercise, I thought this was interesting because it says there's quite a bit of variability in terms of the exercise needs of the breed.
Okay.
Some Swedish Valhunds need more exercise than others.
Oh. So it's just kind of up to the dog?
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
So keep in mind that while this isn't a breed intended to run all day, the Valhund is a working dog and needs regular exercise.
Okay.
One decent walk with some playtime and fetch, or performing a sport or other activity, is likely adequate. But some need more.
Okay. But some need a lot more. No.
But some will just keep trying to run around your house.
Yeah.
Run through the door. So they also need more mental exercise in addition to their physical exercise, like puzzles, like clicker training. They're a very intelligent breed.
For sure.
So yeah, intelligent, full of energy.
That's good.
Like any fun dog.
Clicker training is one thing I've never really understood. Like... Well, I understand the concept, but I've just never really looked into it as like a method for a lot of the dog breeds I research. They don't, like, some of them, they just don't recommend it too.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, for training, it says that Valhunds like should want to work with you too. And that's one of the hallmarks of the breed.
They're very eager to solve that mystery.
Maybe the clicks help them. Just, you know.
I think it's really impressive when a dog has clicker training, but I don't know. I just never, it kind of fascinates me to a point of not understanding it.
Yeah, I know it has something to do with the just association with the sound. I'm not totally sure how you do it though.
When I researched it, like when you click the, if they do something satisfactory, you give them a treat and you click.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then eventually you stop giving them treats. So they'll understand the click is a positive sound.
Oh.
Yeah. So if they do something correctly and you click, that means that they've achieved that.
But then they just salivate. Like, what's that Pavlov's dog?
Well.
So the dog just enjoys salivating.
That's why they recommend doing it when they're puppies, because their cognitive memory isn't as developed yet. So
I always wonder
how. They may not remember the treat part.
How did Pavlov measure the dog salivating? I don't know.
Pavlov was kind of an asshole.
So I rang this bell every time I gave the dog food, and then I rang the bell, and I could tell he was salivating. Like, maybe he was just panting, dogs.
Maybe he was drooling.
Do that. He's an old basset hound, Pavlov.
Oh, Pavlov. We don't celebrate you in modern day culture.
I don't really know anything else about him.
He was pretty cruel to his test subjects, so.
Damn it, Pavlov.
Yeah.
Cursed you.
Well, the whole experiment in general is kind of cruel. Like,
it sounds just like clicker training.
But you're not like starving the pet. You're not.
Well, God, no.
You know, yeah, you're not what am I trying to say? You're not denying it its necessities. Yeah, but it's part of it, because he wanted to see how desperate they would get in some experiments too before they would break.
Well. He's the worst.
Yeah, not a good guy. Not a good guy. Under, you know, science was different back then too, so there's an argument for how there wasn't really an idea of. Back then, they thought dogs couldn't feel pain. So, like, they thought most animals couldn't feel pain for some reason. That was like a popularly accepted notion. So,
yeah.
Don't understand that, but. Anyways, sorry for the sidetrack there.
So yeah, I mean, the AKC does say that the Valhund does do very well with clicker training, and you know, they definitely sound like a very intelligent breed, just based on all this.
I mean, I feel like to be a herding breed or a working breed, that you have to have some level of pretty good intelligence to understand your task.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Stanley Coren's breed intelligence rankings came out in 2006. 1 year before the SV was AKC recognized.
Phooey.
They could be smarter than Border Collies. We'd never know. They probably are.
Maybe.
So that's all I got. Swedish Valhund.
Very nice.
Probably the smartest breed in the world and the most adorable.
The smartest breed in the whole world? Or are you just going to vouch for that?
I said probably.
Because they're so cute.
Because, yeah, you know, they weren't around as an official breed when Stanley Coren did his test, so we don't know.
I would say they're one of the smartest breeds.
They could be smarter than Border Collies.
Maybe. Who knows?
Probably.
It sounds biased.
I'm just saying it's like more likely than not that they're smarter than people.
This is escalating a lot more. Albert Einstein was a Swedish Valhund.
Saying it's likely.
Anyway,
can't guarantee it.
Boop 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 boop. Dog news.
Oh my god,
the results are in from last week. That Winston, the French Bulldog, has won the National Dog Show. Which I'm going to be honest, I was really surprised a Frenchie won a dog show and for best in show, because those breeds typically feels like bias. Don't.
They're just so popular right now. Everyone loves them, so it feels like it's a bias.
So Winston, a cream-colored French bulldog, claimed top honors at this year's National Dog Show. This article comes from NPR, by the way. The three-year-old beat out six other finalists for Best in Show at the annual event hosted by the Kennel Club of Philadelphia and broadcast on... Oh, that's not relevant. It was on NBC on Thanksgiving Day. That's what I was going to say. After he was announced the winner, Winston was hoisted into the air and whirled above the royal blue carpet by his handler and co-owner, Perry Payson.
When you say hoisted, you just mean held, right?
That's a direct quote from the article.
Whirled while being, you know, held carefully.
He walked over to the people and they were just like, wait, that's an incorrect sentence. Basically, they said that the dog was like a movie star after it won. Yeah.
Like everyone, like every Frenchie's a movie star. Everyone wants to see him, pet him.
And French Bulldogs are now the second most popular breed in the United States, according to the AKC as well.
It's pretty impressive.
They've really, yeah, they're number two now. But anyways, I thought that was pretty interesting. Very cute dog.
Yeah. Super cute.
I didn't get a chance to watch the dog show this year, but...
Did not.
I'm sure I'll watch it on demand or streaming.
What,
I'm
the whole
old.
Thing? What?
Yeah.
When are you going to just watch the dog show? What?
When, sometimes, I, like, if I have to have something on in the background.
I see clips of it, but
oh,
I've never, like, watched them.
Oh. You should.
I mean, a little in the background, I guess. Just and, on if they're on TV.
And then that is not all. For this episode, we have some emails from listeners that we need to get to.
Yay.
Which I'm super excited about. So,
yeah, thanks
I
for emailing us, people.
Yeah, absolutely. I have two. The first one comes from Dan Steinberg, and he actually mentioned something about our episode about the Australian cattle dog, which I thought was really interesting. He mentioned they are actually not a very good option for a family because they tend bite. Ooh. And they can be very hyper.
Oh,
so I'll read his email. Love your show. Thanks. I have an Australian cattle dog and I spend a lot of time talking to other ACD owners and breeders. Near the start of the podcast, you mentioned they make a good family, they make good family dogs with children. I would strongly disagree with this. Mm-hmm. They bite a lot. They're good dogs, wow, but they're hard to handle. And no matter how well trained, a little reactive around unusual or unpredictable behaviors, also how children can behave. They have strange developmental things where they can get aggressive around other dogs around 18 months. And then... They're all. He also said they're very fast and agile and tough, and they're not really ones you can train off leash or get to a dog park. Yeah, he said, I often joke they're like the Hannibal Lecter of dogs. Smart, loyal, but a little nuts.
Wow, okay, yeah. Sounds like they're pretty wild.
Yeah. And he also has a Australian cattle dog named Tank Ray, and you can look her up, hashtag Tank Girl, TANQGIRL on Instagram if you want to see photos. But yeah, a super nice guy. Thank you so much, Dan, for emailing us and giving us extra info on the breed. It's so interesting.
Yeah, thanks.
It was so interesting when I got this email. As soon as I read it, I started to see videos pop up on my like YouTube feed and like news feed about how heelers, what they're also known as, are not very good options for family dogs.
Oh yeah.
So I wonder if, you know, I wonder if some of the articles I read really stated that. And I wonder if there was maybe a backlash to those articles being like, maybe don't recommend that. Hmm. But there are a few videos out there that really recommend heelers as like a sole dog or sole owner type
I
dog.
See, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Not the best choice for a family pet. Mostly because they bite. That's really the one thing they'll kind of nip.
I see.
So
yeah, it can be just kind of defensive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They don't really know their strength sometimes too. They can be really fast. So
yeah, I mean, it is weird how, like, some dogs will just put up with children to the point they'll just, like, let them, like, harass them.
I think of
them.
Retrievers, golden retrievers.
Yeah, especially.
Just be, like, sit there and, like, their ears like are being played with. Yeah.
It's like you're a giant wolf, like.
And I have.
Not a small wolf, but pretty big dog.
Yeah. I have another email from a listener of ours named Tina Hansen, and she wanted to throw out a couple dog questions, like fun dog questions.
Okay.
So, and I'm going to ask you these, see what you think. So thank you, Tina, for these questions. If Santa had a dog, what would it be?
Reindeer. No. You know, a Norwegian elk hound.
Sure. She thought Samoyed or a Nordic dog since they heard reindeer.
Okay.
And she also said, you may have a lot of Harry Potter fans in your audience. What would the four Hogwarts houses choose as their dogs?
Ooh. Well,
her choice for Gryffindor, I think, is pretty solid.
Golden Retriever?
Commodore.
Oh. Wait, why? What?
Well, aren't they the lion dog?
No, Commodore is like the oh man, what are they called?
Oh, they have like the locks. Like yeah.
And what are they called?
I forget.
Ropes. No, not ropes. No.
We've talked about this before. We've covered the another breed that has these.
Yeah, the Pooty, right?
Pooley. Pooley, yeah.
Yeah, the
German Shepherd was the other option for Gryffindor.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense.
For bravery.
Yeah, maybe Golden Retriever's a little too derpy, even.
Tina actually said the Golden Retriever would fit in Hufflepuff because of its loyalty.
Makes sense.
Yeah. What were you going to say for Gryffindor?
Well, I thought Golden Retriever at first, but German Shepherd makes sense, too.
That makes sense. I would say...
big, all-around, good dog.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good fit. And then... She also elected the Border Collie for Ravenclaw for its intelligence.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Interestingly enough, it's missing Slytherin.
Yeah, what about Slytherin? Who's the evil dog?
Who's the evil dog? Chihuahua.
Is it? Is it the Australian cattle dog?
No, Slytherins are known for... Slytherins are known to have come from money, right? Aren't Slytherins like the
just
wealthier
Malfoy.
Houses? Oh.
But I don't know if that's true overall. They're like the
what
Yale of the houses.
What is a green dog?
Yeah, that's what all Slytherins have in common. They're green.
Yeah. No, I don't know. What would Slytherins...
They're conniving. It's all like clearly negative traits.
No, there's... Okay, let's Google this. Positive traits of Slytherin. Here we go. Goal-oriented, ambitious...
We'll step over anyone to get
self-reliant.
What they want.
That's a good one for a dog. What's a self-reliant
husky.
Dog? Yes. Oh my gosh, that's perfect. Yes, because they're also kind of whiny.
Get a husky named Malfoy. Draco. Lord.
Draco's a better name for a husky.
Husky Draco Malfoy.
Because Draco's also like a Slavic name, so it would kind of match the breed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much, Tina, for all those questions.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everyone, for emails.
Yeah.
It's really cool to hear from you.
It's great to hear from our listeners. Absolutely. We love it. If you want to email us, you can email us at WGAD@ArcadiaPodcastNetwork.com. And yeah, we love to hear from y'all. Tina also suggested some dog breeds to us, and you never know, you might hear about those dog breeds later on.
Do them next week.
These are actually breeds we have, well, of course they're ones we haven't covered, but ones we have not considered either. So that'll be a good thing to add to our,
I've considered them all.
You may have, I have not, but anyway, that's all for my email roundup.
Cool.
For the week.
Is that all we got?
I think so. Yes.
Well, remember, help out your local shelters any way you can. Foster, donate, volunteer.
Adopt.
Help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
When you wake up in the morning and get ready for the day, what's the one thing you're sure you won't miss? Well, according to the National Coffee Association, if you're like 64% of all Americans, you're probably going to have a cup of coffee. Hi, my name is Richard Eisloffel, and I love coffee. I've been drinking it consistently since I was about 15 years old and have worked off and on as a barista for over 4 years. Though I haven't worked in the coffee field for some time now, I've recently took an interest in knowing more about coffee. Its origins, its history, its chemical makeup, how we get different flavor profiles, and its current cultural status. To do this, I turned to my best friend of over 10 years, Wesley Van Hoosen.
Hello there, I'm Wesley.
He is probably the most well-read person I know. Books have always been a part of his life, and I know that, like myself, he has a thirst for knowledge. So I asked him one day, Wesley, do you know any good books on coffee? To which he responded,
No, actually, none that I've ever found.
And I have to say, That took me by surprise. You would think out there, somewhere, is a manuscript detailing everything you need to know about coffee, from how it's made to how it made its way into the fabric of our society. But no, there really isn't. So that's when Wesley and I decided to do it ourselves.
Welcome to Coffee's On, where every episode we'll learn something new about the marvelous beverage that is coffee. In this popcorn-style series, we'll use every episode to do a deep dive into some facet of coffee consumption or production.
And with every episode, we'll be trying a new brew of coffee, so we can continue to open our palates as well as our minds.
In addition, we'll close each episode with a fun fact, myth, or legend about this magical drink.
So tune in during your morning routine, daily commute, or afternoon pick-me-up, and we'll tell you all there is to know about the most consumed beverage in America.
You can listen to Coffee's On Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts.
From the Arcadia Podcast Network.